Welcome, D-Gens, far and wide, to another edition of IDP Plus Bets. We're talking about the UFL. That is right, the United Football League. Of course, it is week six, folks. We are across the halfway point already. Just a 10-week season, and then we got 2 weeks of playoffs. So we're right smack dab in the middle, right around that, kind of crossing that point, right? So we're across that midpoint in the season, and teams are really starting to separate, some in a good direction, others in a not so good direction. So let's start this off with a quick intro recap. First, it is Sebastian Fearon, aka the DGen Doc here. I am your host, and we're talking about the United Football League, and we're going to start it off with talking about last week. First of all, last week we went a nice 2-0 on our best bets. Yes, last week we gave out officially as the best bet San Antonio Brahmas, who took care of the Arlington Renegades with pretty much ease, winning by double digits. And then here's the reason why, you know, I mentioned it on the pod, record this on Thursday nights, you know, so we can get it out to y'all on Friday. But definitely encourage y'all to give me a follow, whether it's on, you know, over on X or TikTok at the DGen Doc. Not only do I put out the underdog fantasy play of the week there, because they don't come out with them until Friday. The lines don't come out until Friday. But also, I liked Michigan last week, and I upgraded it to a best bet because Case Cookus was officially ruled out. So posted it before. Look, there's a huge difference between this Memphis Showboats team with Troy Williams, QB2, and Case Cookus, QB1. And absolutely hammered Michigan, told y'all to hammer it, and bam, we went 2-0 on the best bets with a nice little week 5 sweep there. So yeah, just another reason to go ahead and obviously listen to the pod, but go ahead and give me a follow for those updates, those up to the last minute updates, right? Because when, you know, at this point we know the Saturday depth charts, but we don't know the Sunday games depth charts just yet, because those will drop tomorrow. So that's kind of the best time to really get a full picture of what be going on, especially when we have something like a starting quarterback situation, right? That obviously has a huge impact. You know, the books still gave it at almost even money there. I think, you know, it went in, originally Memphis was -1.5. I think it closed more of a push. But anyway, Michigan, that was an easy, easy winner there with Troy Williams having 3 turnovers in that game to help Michigan secure that W. So as we're talking about that, let's go ahead and just look at the week 5 scores here. We talked about the Brahmas taking care of the Arlington Renegades to keep them winless. We talked about Michigan capping it off with a nice win over Memphis. And then you had 2 real blowouts there in the middle. The Birmingham Stallions destroyed the Houston Roughnecks, and then St. Louis Battlehawks gave the DC Defenders their first ever loss in Audi Stadium there at home, and destroyed them as well. All right, folks, now we are on to week 6. Before we get right into that, again, if you haven't checked out a UFL game, encourage you to go. I was able to go to my first one 2 weeks ago. San Antonio Brahmas versus the Michigan Panthers here. Got that media credential, press pass, was able to sit in the press box, released an article on the UFL's actually official website. Got an article published there talking about my experience, giving a game recap there. It was an awesome, awesome environment there in the Alamo Dome. It was Fiesta. For those that don't know, aren't familiar with San Antonio, it's essentially just a like giant, almost 2-week party where the city, like, you know, has parades and does a bunch of cool stuff. So they had like a carnival going on outside, and then the fans came in and kept that energy, and really San Antonio put a beat down on Michigan with the hometown hero there, Quentin Dormini, who's from just really a suburb of San Antonio in Bernie, Texas. So it was a really cool experience. And yeah, both those teams, after seeing them live, look what happens. I saw both those teams live. I bet big on both those teams the next week, and they both cashed. So look at that. Go to a game, and maybe that luck will turn out for you as well. Also, you know, a little bit not break news, but was able to also interview today. today, actually. Exclusive interview with the UFL head of player performance, Coach Sean Hayes. So I was able to interview him today, and I'm going to release another article kind of giving you guys a little bit of behind the scenes of, you know, we see our favorite players out on the field. We see the finished product on Saturday and Sundays, but how do they get there, right? Looking a little bit at their rehab training, kind of, you know, the medical, a little bit of medical training side of things, you know, what do you guys go through? What does a typical week look like for them? You know, especially, you know, a guy who's injured on the week, like how do they get him ready? Or just, you know, from the off season to the in season, like how do we get these athletes to take that next step to get to that next level? So that was a really, really cool interview. Really good guy there. And Coach Hayes, really knowledgeable. So excited about that. Hopefully we'll be writing that up this weekend as we watch these bets cash. All right, folks, let's get into week six. Taking a look ahead at week six. Here's our slate. We've got the typical four games. No bye weeks here in the UFL. Ain't nobody got time for that. All right. Let's go ahead and get right into the first game on our slate, and that is the Birmingham Stallions. You're 5-0 undefeated Birmingham Stallions taking on the lowly 1-4 Memphis Showboats here. So we have Birmingham. It is going to be on the road. It's going to be in Memphis. Looks like Memphis had a little bit of a crowd last game against Michigan. So that was kind of nice to see. They kind of had been a dead spot there. So maybe they get a little bit of a home field advantage, having the you know, USFL champions, well, two times champions, kind of cream of the crop coming to town. Hopefully they support their home team there. So spread on this is Birmingham is laying 12.5. So we're starting to see some kind of things in the betting market, right? So we've kind of seen the totals jump up, adjust to kind of a higher scoring in the recent weeks. We've also seen the spreads kind of jump up as, again, these teams are starting to really identify themselves. So Birmingham's laying 12.5, and the over-under on this game is 43 points. So as I always like to do, let's start with a look at the injury reports. So a little short on the Birmingham side, which is always a great thing to see. Really the biggest thing they're going to be missing there is starting safety JoJo Tillery. He is going to be out because we do have the official depth charts, which I'll flip over to in a second. And the big concern on the Memphis side of the ball, really the biggest thing is, you know, they have some guys limited beat up. Looks like they're going to be missing their starting tackle, James Turnstall, which in reality, he's kind of been like a turnstall. That offensive line has been pretty rough. So it's hard to think, you know, is it going to be addition by subtraction or can it actually get worse? Because right now, that Memphis Showboats offensive line is a straight up workplace hazard. I mean, they got Chris Cook is knocked out of the game a couple weeks ago to the point he couldn't start last week. But as you see, he's not on the injury report this week and he is listed as QB1. So that is a huge, I would say the biggest takeaway here is actually both these teams' QB1s, right? So the return of Chef Cookus, Case Cookus himself, and then also Birmingham listing Adrian Martinez as QB1 for the second time in a row. We saw Martinez is clearly look like the better quarterback out of him and Matt Corral. But, you know, kind of randomly, Skip Holtz kind of threw Matt Corral as starting quarterback on the depth chart. But it looks like those days are over. We may see, you know, Adrian Martinez be the starting guy for the rest of the year. And I think that offense flows a lot better with him at the helm. So we've got, again, it's going to be in the Memphis. Stallions are 5-0, Memphis 1-4. On paper, looks like Birmingham should control this game. Now, I will say, for me, this is the hardest game on the slate. These teams did play in week three or four, so just a couple weeks ago, and Birmingham won 33-14. So you would think, you know, why would they not win again? Why would they not smack them? Martinez played. He threw for over 300 yards. He lit them up. Memphis wasn't unable to run the ball. But watching that game, Memphis was right there. Memphis, because I had taken Memphis. I think it was only like a 6.5. Like it was maybe a touchdown, 7.5-point spread last time they played. Memphis was right with them. They were kind of going shot for shot. Memphis was always within one score. And then Case Cookus went down with the injury. So it's yeah, this is definitely the toughest game by far for me on the slate of to kind of handicap here. I don't really love a side, and I would kind of I would say, Memphis would probably be the side. I think they can keep it within two scores. I just think Case Cookus makes that team much better. They do have, Jonathan Adams, Daywood Davis, Vinny Papali, and Sage Surratt. That's a nice receiving core. I know they've struggled to get it going on the ground because really that offensive line is really what's holding this team back. But I do think Case Cookus can make enough plays despite that offensive line to keep it close. But again, you run the risk because that offensive line is that bad. Like, you have to genuinely be concerned about Case Cookus' health, right? Like, if he gets knocked out again, I mean, Troy Williams is awful, right? I don't think he's not Case Cookus at all. So you're running a little bit of risk here. So I like the play I actually like more in this game is the over 43. It cashed last time, especially if Case Cookus can stay in that game. I think, Birmingham's going to score. Memphis's defense is not terrible, but it's not great. I just don't know who is keeping Birmingham out of the end zone at this point. They really can kind of score at will. And then Case Cookus did show the ability to not only move the ball, but score on that really good Birmingham defense, because he of all those weapons. So assuming, Case Cookus is going to start. So give me the over 43 as the play I like better. And then I'll kind of lean to the Memphis side of the ball. But again, it's tough. It's really tough to bet against Birmingham with Adrian Martinez as the starting quarterback. Matt Corral, different story. But Adrian Martinez really seems to have that, that offense is running smooth, that running game. That's tough. Like, right now I'm thinking, like, who really can beat Birmingham? But because of the return of Case Cookus, I'll go with the over and I'll lean Memphis there. All right. Going into the next game where I have a much better idea of what's going to be going on. We're talking about the Houston Roughnecks, the 1-4 Houston Roughnecks, heading up to Seattle to take on the 4-1 Seattle Battlehawks in that very nice home field advantage there in that stadium where they pack it. And I love to see it, man. Love, love, love to see Kaká Nation coming out. I mean, they had 40 grand the first week, over 40,000, then it was 30,000. It's just great to see that city come alive for football. So that's awesome to see. All right. We've got the Seattle also has is laying 12.5, and their over under is 47.5. So, but let's take a look at the injury report here. So for Houston, fairly healthy. Toby Johnson, he's got an MCL injury that looks like he's gonna be out for a little while. He's already been out for a couple weeks. But also another defensive tackle, Jeffrey Johnson, out with a concussion. So those are two kind of biggest kind of missing pieces there. Now, an effect, but I will say if Houston does have one thing, they do have a good front seven. They have a good rotation of defensive linemen that they can throw out there. I think Toby Johnson is a loss. I think he's one of their best defensive linemen. So you would love to have him out there. But I think that is actually an area that they can kind of make up for with their roster. Not many other areas on that team that they can make up for, but defensive line is one of them. Now, on the offense, on the Seattle side of the ball, Seattle coin here, we've got three starting linemen who are not practicing as of Wednesday. Now, we do have the official injury or depth chart, so I can pull that up now, but two of those starting linemen are going to be out. Defensive tackle Austin Fialu, who's a good defensive tackle, is going to be out. And then also cornerback Tim Harris. Now, the bright side is you do see the return of Mr. Do-It-All, all-purpose yards leader before he went out with injury, Darius Shepherd. So let's take a look at their official depth chart here. And this is a nice one because it's actually got the inactives down there. Some of the things to point out to you. So on the defensive line, both those Johnsons, especially Toby Johnson, is going to be out. Jarrett Garantano, who started the year as a starting quarterback and went out with a rib injury, he's back in the lineup as QB2. So that's kind of something to note. I think Reed Sennett honestly has looked better than Garantano, but he hasn't really produced the wins. So, you know, it may be a situation where, hey, if Sennett's not getting it going against this good Seattle Battlehawks defense, maybe they go a little two quarterbacks there. Also of note, I don't understand this. Mark Thompson, this will be his third week back playing. Should be fairly healthy, ready to go. No idea why he's the RB2. He's clearly the best player on that team. Maybe Reuben Foster is better than him, but still the best offensive player by far. I have no idea why he's the RB2. Honestly, the coach, Curtis Johnson, I don't even understand really how he's coaching. But, hey, just going to kind of leave it at that. On the Battlehawks side of the ball there, as you see on the inactives, so starting guard Vidal Alexander and tackle Juwan Bushel-Beatty are both out. Looks like starting guard Steven Gonzalez is going to be able to play despite little to no practice. So, again, he's going to be banged up, but he's going to play through it. Darius Shepherd rejoins the lineup there, which is a big boost for that offense. So you got some guys returning. You've got some guys being out. For me, I just do not see the Seattle Battlehawks as good as Birmingham, right? I understand Birmingham just beat Houston down pretty bad. I'm not completely sold on the Seattle Battlehawks team. Now, they did just beat the crap out of DC, which was impressive, but I think DC is actually a little bit softer than Houston. So here's where I kind of see it. You know, I'm not calling for Houston to win. I just think Houston will keep it within the number of 12.5. And the reason really why is their running game, right? So the Seattle Battlehawks have a really good defense, but you can run on them. They particularly have a really good pass defense. Their rush defense is okay. It's not bad, but, you know, about middle of the road there. I think that if they can lean, now again, this is a little bit scary because you're relying on Curtis Johnson to actually have a good game plan, right? Which is a little scary. But I think if they can lean on the run, lean on Mark Thompson in particular, and get the running game going, I think that that'll open things up for Reed Sennett. You know, when Houston looked their best and they beat Arlington, they were running the ball and they were getting that run pass option, right? Reed Sennett was able to pull it down and either throw the slant or throw something over the middle, or he was able to hand the ball off to Mark Thompson. And I think that is a successful formula to keep it close. Also, you got two starting linemen out, and, you know, you've got one obviously banged up. He wasn't practicing the first 2 days, so he's not going to be 100% in Gonzalez. And, again, that Houston front seven is actually one of their strongest points, right? You got Reuben Foster in the middle there. You got Carlos Kemp, Kemp is not on the roster anymore, but you got Adam Gonzalez. Hold on, let's see. Oops, let's pull this back up here. So you got Chris Odom, my apologies, who was a former USFL, and you got Adam Rodriguez, who was another good player for the Philadelphia Stars. So you got some decent edge rushers. You have a decent offensive line, and I talked about, obviously, Reuben Foster is one of the best players in the league. So I do think that Seattle is going to have a little bit of difficulty on the offensive side of the ball. Look, I get it. They have AJ McCarron, who, you know, most experienced quarterback in the league, and they have really good weapons on the outside. But, I mean, you see it with Memphis. You see it, like, if it's really hard to be consistent on offense when you're down offensive linemen, right? So it's going to stress that system. You know, I don't know how many great backups that these teams are carrying. So I think this is going to be an interesting situation where Houston's going to be able to take advantage of the trenches on the defensive side of the ball and then be able to also hopefully get the running game going with Mark Thompson to kind of, you know, slow the game down a little bit. I understand it's a running clock, but in the sense of limiting the possessions that Seattle has and making them more inefficient, because they've been a really efficient offense so far. But again, that's with a fully healthy offensive line that they're not going to have to do this game. So really, it's the offensive line injuries. It's the potential for Houston to be able to run on St. Louis that is going to go ahead and I'm going with Houston, plus 12.5, not making the best bet category, but I do like it. And I also would go with the under 47.5. I just think that's a little bit too much. Again, I understand St. Louis almost covered this last week by themselves, but they were fully healthy and that game was a lot closer. And then things got away from DC and that score really ballooned really fast. So give me Houston to keep it close and, you know, something like even 21-10 or, you know, 21-13 or something like that. All right. So we're halfway through week 6. We got a couple bets we already like. Before we move on, let's tell you about some of our sponsors really quick. So let's go ahead and talk about Trophy Smack. That's right, folks. It is draft season, and get ahead of the game right now with Trophy Smack's gorgeous draft boards, complete with player stickers so deep you couldn't possibly need them all. And for the first time, Trophy Smack has an IDP expansion pack for all of us defensive nerds. So go ahead and check that out. It's going to be in the show notes, the link to that. Also, just talked about, hey, NFL draft just happened. Fantasy football season is right around the corner. And when it comes to fantasy football season, there's none better than the Fantasy Football Expo in Canton with the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So if you like, you needed another reason, but go ahead and come on out. Join us on Saturday the 10th at the Brew Kettle next to the Pro Football Hall of Fame for a drafting extravaganza. And for the first time ever, IDP Plus is hosting an IDP league. So be part of history there and check out the link in the show notes. You know, that's something that I'm pretty excited for. It's going to be my first year attending the Fantasy Football Expo there in Canton, Ohio in August. So absolutely encourage you guys to come on out and go ahead and draft with us there with the IDP league. Last sponsor here, Expedia. I've told you guys about them, but we're thrilled to announce our partnership with them. Look, everybody loves going on vacation, but nobody loves planning vacation, right? Nobody loves going to a bazillion different websites and trying to figure out like what are the best deals and here and there and blah, blah, blah. Look, we just want to go on vacation. We just want to enjoy ourselves. And Expedia helps us do that. It helps us do that. We're going to help you do that at a discount with Mother's Day on the horizon. Expedia is the place to go to make your moms feel special. Get 10% off or more on over 100,000 hotels, worldwide, and 30% off when booking a flight with their accommodation. So the way it works as they're an affiliate partner with us, we're going to go ahead and have a special link for you guys to use. And as you're a fan of us, we, of course, are going to not only win you money, but we're going to save you money through those discounts. So check all that out in the show notes. And we're back, baby. So let's continue on halfway through week 6. Let's hit the Sunday games, which now we're getting to where I'm this is the day I like. I'm going to definitely be targeting Sunday more than Saturday. I mean, let's be honest. These Sunday games should be better, right? Saturday has two potentials for blowouts. Now, I think it'll be a little bit closer than people think, but I'm not calling for any upsets there. I think Birmingham and St. Louis are the clearly better teams. I just think that there's a situation where it could be a little bit closer than people think. All right. Now, we've got the Arlington Renegades, the winless 0-5. I have no idea how they did this with this roster, but the 0-5 Arlington Renegades against the 3-2 Michigan Panthers. And our spread here is only 4. Michigan is only laying 4 at home in that dome, right? So if you were with me early on, I was big on Arlington. I rode Arlington week 1. I rode Arlington the next week when they covered against St. Louis. Man, they've been a really hard team to figure out, because on paper and even the way that they played the first 3 weeks, they looked like a pretty competent team. They were coming off an XFL championship. So you thought that they were going to be able to get it together. Luis Perez is one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Bob Stoops has experience. They have a good core of wide receivers and tight ends. But, man, they have just found ways to lose, and just gotten worse, in my opinion. They're obviously winless. But, you know, one of the biggest concerns is health, too, this week, apart from finding ways to lose and not getting into the win column. Let's take a look at the injury report. You know, we only do have the one day. UFL is still working on their injury report process and things like that. You know, it's still a little bit wonky in the uncharted waters. But the biggest thing is, look, on the Arlington side, two players, Tyler Vaughns and Jalen Redmond. Those are Arlington's best two players on their teams. Tyler Vaughn is their alpha stud receiver. He's got a hamstring injury. The fact he did not practice tells me he's definitely not going to be 100% or likely not play. And if he does play, he's at a re-injury risk. So I do not like the fact that a wide receiver has a hamstring strain. Even if they do play, that's concerning for me. And the fact he's not practicing on Wednesday means he's probably not going to be ready this week. The other guy is Jalen Redmond, who already missed last week, and the fact he's not practicing either. Looks like that injury was fairly serious. So this is concerning, right? Jalen Redmond is one of the only bright spots on defense. The defense has been atrocious. I mean, their defense is one of the worst in the league, especially against the run. They are the worst run defense, and they're missing their stud defensive tackle who clogs up the middle and actually can make some plays on both the run and the pass game. And then Tyler Vaughns, again, the alpha wide receiver who him and Luis Perez have a great connection. That's not, I mean, this team was already a walking red flag just due to their play, but that is huge. These two guys potentially missing are absolutely massive to this team. I that cannot be overstated. The other thing with Michigan, I understand their injury list looks long. It is long, but they got a lot of guys that they list that are fully practicing. And it's really the quality of guys here, right? So Wes Hills, starting running back, starting quarterback Danny Etling are both on here, but they're both full practicing. You know, you got Marcus Sims, their best wide receiver. He's on the injury report every week. He's got a back injury. It seems like Michigan likes to over-report, almost like, you know, the Patriots, where everybody's limited or dealing with something, but mostly all of them play. The guys who are not practicing right now, none of them are a really big concern, you know, as far as like being super standout players. So if they wind up do missing, I'm not super concerned with the guys who are not practicing right now. Also, they may be getting their starting tackle, Ryan Pope, back, who's missed the past couple weeks, and that offensive line has been a little bit rocky without him there. So the fact that he's practicing in a limited fashion on the first day of the week is a good sign. So hopefully they get Pope back there with a shoulder injury, because I think this is one where Michigan can just lean on the run game, right? So I talked about it. This Arlington Renegades defense is a straight-up liability. They're bad, like really bad. You know, there's the game against DC, I have no idea how they lost. Their offense did almost everything right. They had a 10-point lead with 2 minutes left, and Arlington's defense just shit the bed play after play after play. You cannot trust them at all, and now they're not going to likely have their best defensive lineman. So Arlington coming in beat up on the D-line, already the worst run defense in the league. Michigan, second best rush offense in the league. And they just came off a game where they really ran it right down Memphis's throat, and that helped them take control of that game. I think they had like four, I think Wes Hills had three rushing touchdowns himself. I think they had five rushing touchdowns on the day. So that's a recipe for disaster for Arlington. You know, you got a team that, I understand Michigan is going to be on their quarterback too. Still, EJ Perry, their starting quarterback, is on the IR with a hamstring injury. But him and Danny Etling, to me, are like the same quarterback. There's not a huge drop-off. It's not like a Troy Williams, Case Cookus situation. There's not a huge drop-off. And they have Matt Colburn and Wes Hills, both proven running backs who've been in the league. This will be at least their second year in the league. You know, they were both starting running backs on their own separate teams. Now they're in the same backfield. I like that backfield. Give me Michigan. This is the best bet of the week. I love Michigan in this spot. I think Michigan's a solid team. I think they're a playoff team. I think that they have a solid defense led by Kai Nakua in the back, Puka Nakua's older brother, and Frank Ginda and Braylon Spears, right? So, you know, when you talk about your tiers of defense, right, you got your D-line, your linebackers, your safeties. They have a stud and a leader at each of those positions. In Nakua in the back end, Ginda in the middle, and then Braylon Spears as your edge rusher. They're a solid team. I think, you know, they've already beat St. Louis. You know, I really, you know, they were pretty damn close to beating Birmingham. They had a chance. They were you know, down around the red zone when they were, you know, only down by one score. They had a chance to potentially beat Birmingham. They did lose to San Antonio, but I think that was a little bit, you know, San Antonio's coming out party there that contributed to that. But anyway, Arlington sucks. We just have to face it. Arlington sucks, and they're likely out their two best players. Michigan is a team that is going in the opposite direction. They are on the up and up. Give me Michigan to lay the four. I also like the over 42 here. I don't, you know, it's not my favorite total on the board, but Arlington's defense is really bad. They can't stop you and me, let alone a professional football team. So I'm going to lean into the fact that Michigan's going to lay it on them. And Arlington does have a competent offense, especially in comparison to their defense. So give me Michigan minus four there. Again, is the play that I love. All right. Last game on the slate, and that is the San Antonio Brahmas taking on the DC Defenders. And those Defenders really did defend their home turf very well up until last week, where they got their ass kicked 45-12. Now, that game did get a little out of hand late, but still, I don't love this Defenders team. So let's look at the injury report. We got 2 days here, so don't ask me why these teams came out with their injury report, but Michigan and Arlington didn't for today. I got no idea. These things are, they're all over the place. But anyway, so we've got for San Antonio a longer injury report, and it's a little more daunting because you got some DMPs. You got some concern here. So Delonte Scott, their best pass rusher, he returned from injury, from a shoulder injury last week, and you know, he was able to practice in a limited fashion on the first day, but he's not practicing it on today, which is concerning, right? You never like when the injury report goes in the wrong direction. So that is concerning there. It does look like they're going to get back Wyatt Ray, who's another outside linebacker, but Tim Ward is unlikely to play. Anthony McFarlane is probably going to be out again. There, he was their starting running back, but John Leavitt he's been a very capable backup. He ran for almost 100 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. Another, you know, between Scott and then Darius Phillips, that this San Antonio pass defense between their defensive line and their cornerbacks, their secondary, is really good. They're a really good team in the and on the, you know, defending the pass. And DC struggles against the pass. They're actually the worst pass offense in the league. So on paper, it's a good matchup. You do have a little bit of concern here with potentially missing Scott's and Phillips, two starters on that defense in the back, you know, in that, especially playing a role in that pass defense. So something to monitor there. We should get the full depth chart tomorrow. So we'll kind of have a much better idea, but at this point you got to assume that both those guys are at least going to be very limited, if not out completely. On the DC side of the ball, a lot better of a story. You know, Monte Nicholson, it looks like he's going to play 2 full practices, which is good because they just released DJ Swearinger, their former starting safety. And, you know, what is not so good is that cornerback Garyon Conley just got added to the injury report with a hamstring injury. That tells me he injured it sometime in practice this week, giving him not a lot of time to recover. So hopefully it's just a minor tweak, but, you know, we've got to see how that progresses. And then starting linebacker Francis Pinard, who was out last week, he has had 2 limited practices, so he's questionable, but he's got a shot. You'd like to see him have a full practice to be able to have some confidence in him. So DC definitely the healthier team coming in. However, I'm still absolutely fading the DC Defenders. The spread, if I did not say it at the top, I apologize. It is San Antonio -1.5, so almost a pick 'em, and then the over-under is 42.5. So here's how I see it. This is not the DC of last year. They are 2 completely separate teams. You cannot compare them at all, right? So let's throw that out the window. First of all, I understand Jordan Tam was there, but that's like the only semblance of that offense that was so dynamic the past few years. But again, worst, they've got the worst pass offense in the league going up against one of the better pass defenses in the league. I think it's the second best pass defense in the league, and they can really get off to the quarterback and make him feel uncomfortable. They also have the worst overall defense in the league. Like, just straight up, they give up the most points. They are a bad unit, and they're going up against a pretty good passing offense, right? Dormandy likes to throw the ball kind of all over the yard there. They've got three really good wide receivers in Jontre Kirkland, Justin Smith, and Marquez Stevenson. They're very capable on the outside there. Lovett's coming along. So give me San Antonio to win this game, minus the 1.5. I understand they're on the road. I understand they got some injuries on defense, but this DC's team is soft and they're bad. They're just not a good team. They've got two wins and they had a miracle win against Arlington where they scored, 10 plus points or 11 points, whatever it was in 2 minutes. Right. It was really more about Arlington's collapse. They got outgained and outplayed the entire game. And then against Houston, they were down fairly big in the third quarter. And again, Houston collapsed, right? And they came back and won that late. So I think that works against bad teams. But again, who have they beaten? They've beaten a winless Arlington team, barely. And they've beaten a one-win Houston team, barely. San Antonio is a good team. They're coming in 4-1. They're coming in hot. I understand when people think of DC, they see Jordan Te'amu, they see the DC of last year. This is not the same team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They are very, very soft. So give me San Antonio minus the 1.5 is the play I like the most. And then I also like the under 42.5. I just think it could be a similar game script to what we saw with San Antonio and Michigan, where, it's like a 19-9 game, 24-10. I don't really see a path for success on DC's side of the ball for offense. I don't really know how they're going to score and move the ball. They haven't been able to run the ball much. They obviously are struggling in the past game, and San Antonio can get after you. That offensive line is not the best. They've got some really good pass rushers. They also can create turnovers. So Jordan Te'amu can be a little bit, generous with giving the ball away. And then, San Antonio's got a good offense, but I don't expect them to super light it up. Not a total I really love, but I'm much more like San Antonio minus 1.5. All right, folks, we've made it. Week 6, we're going to ride. Look, we were 2-0 on our best bets last week. So in honor of that, I'm going to give you 2 best bets this week. And we're going to run it back, right? My favorite play on the slate, Michigan minus 4 as they take on Arlington. My second favorite play is the San Antonio Brahmas minus 1.5. So give me those as my 2 official best bets. We'll go with 2 this week because I do like both of those. Both of those Sunday games. Coincidentally, we just cashed off both of them last week. So we're going back to the well. But listen, Arlington is a really bad team that is potentially missing their 2 best players. And DC is a really soft team that is going to run into a San Antonio defense that plays physical and is opportunistic with taking the ball away. So I like both Michigan and San Antonio to get the job done there. All right, folks, you know what they say. A lock a day keeps the bookie away. Let's go UFL. Let's cash these bets. Hope you guys have a great week. Like, subscribe, comment. Let me know anything different you want to see. And make sure you give me a follow over on X at the DGN Doc. Again, I'll be giving out an underdog play of the day or play of the week, excuse me. And then I also will be giving up updates all the way up until, we're going to get a little bit more information about these Sundays games, especially. So whether you want to look at it from a DFS standpoint, giving you a little bit more of an injury breakdown based on these depth charts that come out tomorrow. Other than that, I hope you guys have a wonderful week. Doc is out of here.